Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody. Got a few visitors with us. We'd like to extend a special welcome to you.
Amen.
We got a number of prayer cards that we're going to look at real quick and offer a prayer up for these individuals before our lesson. Trisha Anderson requests prayers for her family in San Diego as they are preparing to move to Tennessee. And she is trying to decide whether to go with them or stay here. That's a tough decision. And I'm sure she will make the best of whatever decision she makes. But we'll remember her family at this time. Also, Brenda Jackson would like prayers for the church in general. You know, not only our family here, but the Lord's church, and for her family and for the homeless people. Shannon requests prayers for a friend of hers, Crystal Stewart, who underwent surgery, and she requests prayers for her recovery and strength and for her family. Ann sent information that her uncle, George Stevens, passed away this past Monday, complications of COVID, and it was this past Monday, and she requests prayers for strength for her family and also her at this time, and continued prayers for her faith as she works on areas that she's trying to build up in her life. So that's something we all need. Also, Kathy Hope requests prayers for her husband's Mike's sister and their family. We had prayed for a niece of hers last year, Amy Gist. She passed away. She had surgery and suffered complications and passed away from that after that surgery. She was a member of the Southwest Church of Christ in Amarillo. So we need to remember these at that time. Also, Kathy and Mike are moving away, and there's going to be an ice cream cookie cake extravaganza send-off for Kathy. It's going to be amazing how many friends you've got to show up for that cake and ice cream that you never knew you had, Kathy. But that's going to be tonight after evening worship. It's nice to see some people back that hadn't been feeling well. Nice to see Sherry back with us. We need to remember Sherry's husband. He has been going through, and we've had some prayers for him. He's had shingles, a bacterial infection, and the whole bit. And she just said when she came in that he is going through the ringer, and it's putting her through the ringer because she's taking care of him. But let's go to God real quick on behalf of these people that we've mentioned today. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you first and foremost of all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we face trials, we face tribulations, challenges in our life. But dear God, hopefully these are opportunities for us to grow, for us to become stronger in you, to be an example for others that look at us, how we conduct ourselves in these trials. Dear God, we ask that you be with those mentioned today. We ask that we keep you foremost in our lives, whether it be including you in decisions that we face in our lives about moving, decisions we make in our families, decisions that we make regarding jobs. We ask that you are the first and foremost that we consider. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we ask that you be with those that need your hand physically. Dear God, that's one of the challenges we face is we're human. We face illness. Sometimes we even face death of loved ones. Dear God, we ask that you strengthen us and again let us demonstrate to others our faith and let our light shine by how we deal with struggles in our life. God, we ask you to be with us as we continue our worship to you. We hope that everything we've done so far and continue to do will be acceptable and pleasing to you. And we give you honor and glory. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Was it getting feedback? Sorry.
You just got a powerful voice.
Well, nobody listens.
We don't listen.
Yeah. The feedback's killing you. We're going to look today at a lesson that I've titled Fake News. The last few years, we've been hearing about this term, fake news. Nothing new. In history, the same thing was going on at the turn, at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s. It was called yellow journalism, yellow press. How newspapers would sensationalize a story to, you know, they were competing with other newspapers to, so you'd buy their newspaper. So bold headlines, and if they had to stretch the truth a little bit to make their paper read a little bit better, so you'll pick their newspaper, so be it. A little bit better pictures, a little bit more gory headlines, things like that. Nothing new. The concept is it's more propaganda than news. Happened that way during the Spanish-American War, happens that way now. One of the ploys of the media is to give a portion of the truth to make it sound plausible. Give you a little bit of truth to where it gives you some credibility. Give information out of context. Maybe some facts, but twisting the statistics. But they're statistics. Yeah, but you can present them in a way that blows it all out of proportion. Tell a lie often enough, convincingly enough to where people will, that's all they've heard, so it has to be true. Hope that people don't do research on their own. Hope that people don't dig out the information instead of just listening to that voice on TV, radio, newspaper, whatever it is. And they make it personal. That if you ever go against it or if you don't believe it, you're criticized as the bad guy. So you don't want to get out of step. You want to be with everybody else because then you're raked over the coals if you don't. Got a couple of examples there. There was a news story where the reporter was talking about the hurricane and just how bad it was that he's having trouble standing there. And I don't know if you actually saw this, but the wind, the breeze, the microphone made it sound like he was in the eye of the hurricane himself. You know, the static, and he's having even trouble standing there reporting the weather to you. And then a couple moments later, two people are walking by, just casually talking.
Yep.
You know, that's our good old news. Then you have a news reporter there standing hip deep in water, reporting about how severe the flooding is. But he's standing in a bar ditch next to the road. And, you know, there's no doubt that there's been some severe flooding. You know, the news crew is standing ankle deep in water on the road. But right off the road, in the bar ditch, is the reporter to make it appear that it is so much worse than it really is, and that how he's enduring such hardships. Then there's the reporter talking about the mostly peaceful protests that's going on as the city's burning down behind him. Mostly peaceful protests. Of course, businesses and cars and stuff are just burning down all around it, but it's mostly peaceful. We looked at some of those things about the news, but if we substitute news for the gospel, fake news or false gospel, false doctrine, it's more propaganda than truth. There's plenty of people out there that are willing to preach propaganda than the truth. They have a mission that, just like media, they have a preconceived mission of what they want to get out. And it may not be the truth. Give a portion of the truth to make it sound possible. Give just enough verse. Give just enough Bible. Well, the preacher's talking from the Bible. It has to be true. It has to be doctrine. Give information out of context. You know, we spent a... If we didn't get anything out of Tracy's class, we wasted a quarter of a year of our life about you know, deciphering the Bible properly, that you don't take things out of context. You understand the whole. Tell the lie often enough. That's all you've ever heard. The denominations are full of people that's all the lessons they've ever heard is a certain religious teaching ever since the time they were a child. So it must be true. Everybody around them believes it. And then there's the people that hope that are preaching this. Hope that nobody does the research for themselves. Hope that nobody opens the Bible for themselves.
Amen.
To look at it. And then it's to make it personal. If anybody disagrees or questions, start being criticized. I actually knew a preacher that if you ever disagreed with him, you became the sermon topic next week. Literally, so help me. Dick knows who I'm talking about. Hosea 6, as Chris read, says, "My people are destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That puts a big... It puts pressure on us. Pressure. Not just a requirement, but an obligation to study and to get that knowledge from God.
Amen.
Ourselves. Not rely... I think I've given the credibility over the years that I go from God's word, but even with that, I don't ever want you to just take my word for it. I like to think that I've established some credibility, that I don't teach false doctrine. It's straight from the Bible. But even with that, I don't want you to just take my word for it. Search the scriptures. Don't be the people that are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul told Timothy, he says, be diligent. And in the King James translation, it says, study to show yourselves approved. But in New King James, it says, be diligent. It just doesn't come. It takes effort to present yourself approved of God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Mm-hmm. We don't want the, quote, fake news in our lives. We don't want the fake news from our pulpit. We don't want the fake news from our classes. We want true doctrine. And we need, the only way that's going to happen is if the teachers and the students study to show themselves approved.
Amen.
And are able to rightly divide the word of truth, to where if something is ever presented that is not the truth, it will be checked and challenged. In Acts 17:11, the Bereans were being praised and patted on the back. It says these were more fair-minded. I think some of the translations say noble, are more noble because than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so.
Amen.
What had been preached sounded good, but they searched it out just to make sure anyway. Does it coincide with the scriptures? Does it contradict anything? Because there's a lot of things that sound good, but they searched the scriptures daily to make sure these things were so. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul is telling them to test all things. Hold fast what is good. There is nothing wrong with double checking. There is nothing wrong with that. Titus 1:9, and all of these scriptures are on the outline. If you didn't get a chance, there's an outline in the foyer. All of these scriptures are on that. But Paul told Titus, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. That word, you hold on to it, Titus. You hold on to that word because you will be able to both exhort and convict those who contradict the word. You'll be able to do both. Told the Galatians, and the whole letter to the Galatians was a letter of correction. They didn't stray from their belief in God, but they were straying from some of the understandings about how to go about things. And in the first chapter, Paul is saying, I marvel, I'm shocked that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. It says, which is not another. There's only one gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's what a lot of the people do. They don't say that the God isn't there. He doesn't say God's word isn't God's word. they pervert it, they twist it. Like Peter said, to their own destruction. And then in the next chapter in Galatians, it says, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul is telling them, check this stuff out. Does it contradict what you'd been taught? If it does, you stick to the truth. And then in the next chapter in Galatians, it says, O foolish Galatians. He loves people, or he wouldn't be spending time on this issue. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ are clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Who sold you a bill of goods? Who fooled you in this study? And to the Colossians, he says, Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. I'll tell you, there's a lot of preachers out there in the denominational world. They talk a good game. They present their wonderful. Some of them, I wish I could present things as well as them. I don't necessarily want to preach what they preach, but the way they deliver it, they do a good job. They deceive people, like Paul says, with persuasive words. Colossians 2:8 says, Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. That's the key right there. According to the world, not based on the teachings of Christ. And the Apostle Peter, we're going to kind of wrap things up with a passage from the Apostle Peter, chapter 3, starting in verse 14. He says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow. Grow. We were talking about this today in class. I think it was Celia that brought it up. You've got to grow as a Christian. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Brings us full circle. Our scripture reading today was Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't want a Bible like that, that sits so long that it just gathers dust. If we can be of service to you this morning, the invitation is open always for repentance, for baptism, for prayer, anything that we can do for you, please come forward as Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.